time I met Brother Jerry was a revival in Williamston, North Carolina, at the Williamston Church of God. And I went to hear Richie Franklin that night. And Richie Franklin said he had a traveling companion, Jerry Nelson from Wilson. And me and my girlfriend were there that night. See, when I dated, I went to revivals. Amen. And but we, it was a 3-week revival. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget that revival. And I remember the first night I went up to be prayed for my grandmother, and my girlfriend and I, we walked up to the altar, and Brother Jerry looked at me and he said, "Is this your wife?" And I didn't know if he was prophesying or not. But he wasn't prophesying, because that's not my wife. Not tonight. Amen. God had other plans. Amen. But anyway, I remember Brother Jerry praying for me, and I remember him from that revival. And when I came to pastor here, when this was Living Waters, Brother Jerry was still at Farmington Heights at that time. And then I found out he was coming over to Westmoreland and helping out. And I thought, man, that's a great thing that this Church of God man's coming to help us Pentecostal homeless people out. And little did I know that he had Pentecostal homeless roots in him. Didn't know that. And then by and by, after I was here for a year or so, he became the pastor at Westmoreland. And so I just, when he became the pastor, we became friends even more. And I've always had a respect and an honor for Pastor Jerry Nelson. I know he's a man of his word, amen, and he's a man of God. And you don't have to worry about him. If you need a prayer through, you know you can call on Brother Jerry. Amen. And he's the same in a restaurant. He's the same at Falcon. He's the same at Westmoreland. And I just praise God that. And I remember when I moved away from Wilson down to Kinston, I had Brother Jerry to preach for me many times, the Westmoreland choir to come and sing. And then I moved even further down to the coast of South Carolina, and we kind of lost touch with as much as we were able to stay in touch. And mainly the reason is because I don't like to talk on the phone longer than 5 minutes. Pastor Jerry loves to stay on the phone and talk. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he'll preach a whole sermon in 45 minutes, I'm telling you. And so anyway, went and pastored several churches. And I remember during my prayer times, I would be praying, and the Lord would tell me in my prayer time, you need to call Brother Jerry. You don't need to let that relationship slide. He's a spiritual man. You need to stay connected with him. And I would write down, in my, every now and then I write, call Brother Jerry or reconnect with Brother Jerry. And I can go through my prayer journals. In fact, in 2013, I had written down there, call Brother Jerry. You didn't know this, did you, brother? You know what I believe was happening? God was preparing us for this season in our lives. Had no idea that God was really connecting us for this season from the first time in 1991 till tonight. And I'm honored to serve with Pastor Jerry, under Pastor Jerry. And nobody had to convince me if he was a good person, would be a good pastor to work with. I've been knowing him for years, and I just give him honor tonight. And so I took him out of state last week so I could have him all to myself for 3 days. Amen. And he said, am I driving? I'm like, are you kidding me? If I go anywhere, I'm driving. Amen. And I'm not going to ride with Jerry Nelson. He gets to shouting, and he's not on cruise control. I did that one time, and we went to a meeting in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he got so excited and throwing his hands up and his hands off the wheel. And I thought, brother, we were going to see Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you. I thought if Jerry Nelson on the left hand, and there's Jesus under, I'm telling you. So from then on, I said, from then on, me and Brother Jerry are going to drive together. In fact, we were in Falcon at a meeting when I was still down in Smyrna. We had a meeting in Falcon, and after the board meeting, we got out, and I fell down and broke my foot. And I knew my foot was broke, and Brother Jerry and I were going to get something to eat, and he's like, well, do you want me? No, I drove. I promise you with a broke foot. Amen. So anyway, God's good. Amen. You love the Lord tonight. I get nervous when preachers are in the crowd. Like Sunday night, two preachers showed up, and I get nervous when Hammond B3 organists are in the house, and I'm trying to play. Sister Linda, we love you. God bless you for being here tonight. And I tell you what, thank the Lord for people who He's chosen and called and gifted. And Brother Jerry said this years ago, and I've operated like this: just be who you is. Yes. Amen. Be who you is. Because if you is not who you is, then you am not who you are. Amen. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. We're doing a series on Wednesday night on the Lord's Prayer. Somebody said that when God gets ready to bless His church, He sets it praying. And I can't think of a better way to talk about prayer than to look at the DNA or verse by verse, thought by thought, through the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. It's 65 words, 2 minutes. Mark Rutland says you can pray it in 23 seconds. And in the Lord's Prayer, it encapsulates all the promises, all the provisions, all the protections, all the potential, and it covers all the problems that we face. And so I want you to stand with me tonight, and I want us to put up the prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer. We're not going to read it. We're going to pray it. I'm going to instruct you on how to pray the Lord's Prayer. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, Matthew chapter 6. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, let's pray this. And Brother David will flow right on through to the next slide. Our Father, are you praying this? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And give the Lord a hand of praise tonight before you're seated. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for the Lord's Prayer. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and you may be seated tonight. Amen. And Brother David, if you'll give me just a little more monitor up here, not a whole lot, but just a little more. Now, as we talk about the Lord's Prayer, I want to give you a couple of things by way of introduction tonight, because the part that I'm going to do tonight is Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, this prayer was given in response to a request. And that request was found in Luke chapter 11. If you go to Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Say that with me. Lord, teach us to pray. And so as a response to that request, Jesus began to instruct them on how to pray. You see, there must have been something about Jesus' prayer life. There must have been something about the results they saw to his prayers. There must have been something about the communion that he had with his Father. Maybe it was the glow on his face. And it created a hunger in their lives. And they said, Lord, we want what we see, and we want what we feel. And would you teach us to pray? And I want you to know something this evening, that is that everyone should enter the school of prayer. Everyone should sign up for the school of prayer. But listen, here's the thing about it. When you sign up for the school of prayer, you will never graduate from the school of prayer. Because I want you to know, 10 million years from tonight, guess what we'll be doing? We'll be praying. We'll be praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. 10 million years from tonight, we're going to be in a prayer meeting, and we're going to discover something about God that we didn't know in the previous 10 million years. And then another 10 million years, we're going to say, glory, I just discovered something else about God. Because you'll never, never, ever, it'll take all of eternity plus eternity plus eternity. We'll be shouting and praising, blessing God, learning more of His great character. Because if you can ever figure God out, He ain't going to be God, but He is infinite. He is eternal. And praise God that when we come into the school of prayer, we discover just a little bit more of who He is. Can you say amen tonight? You see, no matter how many years we've been in church, no matter how many good deeds we've done, no matter how many books we've read, Sunday school lessons we've taught, we still need to say, Lord, teach us to pray. In 2017, Lord, teach me to pray. And not only do I want you to understand that this is a response to a request, it's also something you didn't understand about the Lord's Prayer. It is that it is the way to pray and not so much the words to pray. What do you mean? You see, I love repeating this prayer verbatim, just like we did. I think there's power in doing it verbatim. However, We know, and one of the things that we in the Pentecostal world, we kind of, in the liturgical church or in the high church, they would say the Lord's Prayer over and over again until it was dead. It was just repetition. It was what is called vain repetition. It lost its life and lost its meaning. And I want you to know that you can say it verbatim and it have life and it have victory. But really, it's not the words to pray. It is a way to pray. It's not an expression so much as it is an experience. It is the train tracks. If you'll follow the thoughts, if you'll follow the themes of which Pastor Jerry and I are going to show to you over the next few weeks, you're going to be like on train tracks, just sailing and gliding away, getting further and further into the presence of God. Jesus said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their speaking. Friend, this is not just a verbatim prayer. This is a prayer to pray in your own words. It's a prayer to pray in your own situation. It is the model prayer. It is the way to prayer. And I believe God answers prayer. And I believe He's up to something in your life. And I believe the best is yet to come. And I believe we can stake a claim and say, devil, I don't care what you did in 2016. I believe He is my Father and His kingdom is coming. And to thine be the glory and the power forever. Somebody give Him praise in this house here tonight. You see, the themes of this prayer is acknowledgement and worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Submission and petition. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. It's also the themes of forgiveness and repentance. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then guidance and assurance. Lead us not into temptation. And we're going to just talk about those themes in this 65-word, 2-minute prayer, 23 seconds verbatim. Someone said that prayer is our greatest power. Prayer is our greatest privilege. And therefore, it should be our greatest passion. If we fail as a church, it will not be because of people. We have wonderful people. If we fail as a church, it will not be because of property. Our church is uniquely located in one of the fastest growing areas of Wilson, North Carolina. When I first drove on the grounds of this property, I told Darnell the other day we were coming down Tillman Road. I remember the very first day I came down Tillman Road, and I remember pulling into the parking lot, and it was a vast wasteland out here. It was like a tumbleweed, and whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, it was like one of those westerns I heard in the back of my ear. I mean, it was nothing out here. But God has positioned us. He knew what was coming. Amen. And this is right. But listen, if we fail, it won't be because of our people, our property, or our prosperity. It'll be because not of people, money, or buildings, or personalities. If we fail, it'll be a failure in prayer. Prayer will bring revival. Prayer will bring healing. Prayer, listen, you know, I was thinking that for 20 years, Pastor Jerry Nelson has had Friday night prayer meeting for 20 years. Oh, God, bless this church. Oh, God, move in this city. Oh, God, would you save our love? Year after year after year, right on through 2000, 2010, 2014, 2015, 2016. You can't tell me that those prayers are not making a difference. And here's the exciting thing. God is going to answer them. He will not let what has been prayed in this church and in the old campus fall away. There's coming a revival. There's coming a this is the place to be. I'm glad to be at Westmoreland. Somebody say there's more at Westmoreland. Somebody say there's more for Westmoreland. Somebody say there's more for me at Westmoreland. Give Him another hand of praise here tonight. Thine is the kingdom. Now I said all that. That's the introduction. Now, do you want to pray now or pray later? Some of you are praying for me. I hope it ain't as long on the other points. But I want to give you three things. Somebody say, Our Father. Number one, acknowledge the Father's person. The person. Now, when Jesus instructed us in this prayer, He doesn't open up open up talking about the place of prayer, because you can pray anywhere. He didn't say, guys, you know, when you pray, make sure you go X, go over here, go over there. No, he did mention the prayer closet, but that was just in response to another question or another point he was making. But in this model prayer, he doesn't mention the place, and he doesn't mention the period of prayer. He doesn't give you a time limit. He doesn't say, make sure you pray an hour every day. Make sure you pray 10 minutes every day, or make sure you pray. He doesn't give the place or the period. He doesn't even give the posture of prayer. He doesn't tell you about kneeling or standing or walking. He doesn't restrict it to this model prayer, to a posture. It's not a place. It's not a period. It's not a posture. Let me tell you how this prayer opens up. It opens up with a person. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, because please understand that Jesus instructed His disciples to pray, and to the Jewish mind, they could not understand the relationship with the Father. You see, they knew God as the Elohim. They knew God as the creator of Genesis. They knew God as the Jehovah names that Pastor is going to talk about. Jehovah this, Jehovah Nisa, Jehovah Shammah. They knew God in the sense of His authority, in a sense of His creative powers. But very rarely into the Old Testament and the Jewish mind did they respond to God or approach God as Father. You see, in the Old Testament, God is only referred to as Father. Listen to this. In all of the Old Testament, only 14 times is God referred to as Father. And even then, it's in a national reference. The father of Israel, or the father of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. You see, only 14 times. The Jews, they just didn't seem to comprehend. And so when Jesus said, here's how I want you to pray. Don't come up and say, our Creator. Don't come up and say, Jehovah, Lord of the armies of the angels. Don't come up and say, thou who dwellest between the cherubs. Here's how you start your prayer. Father, I come before you tonight. And when you say Father, it recognizes Him as a person and you as a person. And we're in relationship. And in fact, in the New Testament, it's not 14 times of being our Father in the Old Testament, but 167 times in the New Testament, we can call Him our Father. Can you say amen tonight? Oh, thank God. You see, it's one thing to create something. It's one thing to for Pastor Jerry to make he makes a birdhouse for Teresa to put in that beautiful yard of theirs. And he hammers the nails and paints it and puts little writing on it and says, here, Teresa, here's my creation. Amen. But now, you see, Pastor Jerry and Sister Teresa, they have a daughter. Amen. And it's one thing to have creation. It's another thing to have a child. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jerry's got a creation, but he and Sister Teresa have a child. Don't you understand you're a child of God tonight? Don't you understand that your daddy might have kicked you out, might have abused you? Don't you understand that your husband might have walked out on you after 20 or 30 years of marriage? Don't you understand that you might have been rejected, but you just go ahead and talk to the Father about it, because He'll wrap you in His arms. You are His child. You just come. Now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your life to Him. He is our... Why don't you just lift your hand and say, Father, I bless You. Father, I praise You. When my mother and father forsake me, the Lord picks me up. Thank You, God, that this is not some religion. I have a relationship with the Father above. Can you say amen? Amen, somebody. A little boy was very uneasy about the sounds of thunder and lightning outside. And so as his mother was putting him to bed, he asked if she would sleep with him because he was afraid. He said, Mama, sleep with me tonight. I'm so afraid of the thunderstorm. And she said, Son, I can't do that. I've got to go to bed with your father. You'll be okay. And as the mother was walking out the room, she heard the little boy say, the big sissy. Listen, God's not down the hall during the thunderstorm. Is everybody okay? He's not the big sissy. He's there during the storm. Amen. Hey, listen to this. This is another sermon that I preached some time ago, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. But God cares about us intimately because every hair on our head is numbered. Say amen. God cares about us affectionately, despite our failures. He's affectionate. He is affected. It's one thing to be affected, but to be affected. Amen. Come on. God cares about us affectionately. You know, it's one thing for how can I describe this? But if you're working somewhere. And I have a coworker that somebody says something to her, and I, you know, my coworkers are my coworkers. But if somebody messes with my wife, come on now. That's a different thing. Amen. That's the way God, He is affected by this. He cares about us intimately. He cares about us affectionately. He cares about us, listen, passionately. You remember where in Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon says, Shulamite, return, 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 oh Shulamite, return. Four times. You know, Jesus many times said, verily, verily, when the Jews said something twice, it had great emphasis. But when they said something four times, and you hear the heart of the Father, return, 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 return. God cares about us intimately, affectionately, passionately, and He cares about us personally, like I'm talking about tonight. Our Father, He knows our name. He knows our frame. He's the fourth man in the fire. He shows up personally. Can you say amen? Do you remember when the priest came back from the captivity in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah? Did you know that they could not trace their lineage, and many of them did not know who their father was? And because they didn't know who their father was, because they couldn't say, I'm a child of Levi, they couldn't serve in ministry. And I want you to understand something, that not having a father is a big thing to the Jews. Please understand that when Jesus said for you to pray, our Father, we know exactly who He is. Now, you might not know who your earthly father is, but Jesus said, that's okay. As long as you call Him your Father, our Father, then it's going to be all right. And here's Romans chapter 8. Here's what I'm building to. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. I want you to read it for me. Read it with me. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, amen. Amen. Somebody say amen tonight. You know, we got to think of God. He is holy. He is the creator. We should respect Him as the King. But please understand, Jesus said, acknowledge His person. He's our Father. In my mind, my father, his name was Earl Nelms, Joseph Earl Nelms. I'm named Richard Earl Nelms, named after my dad. They called him Mr. Earl. Daddy was not a Christian. But for 2 years, he sat right up over here, came to this church. It's a blessed time of my life. My daddy never, he was raised Church of God, but he never got saved. And to get him in church was so hard. But anyway, but I can just tell you, if I asked my daddy for something it would just make his day. I remember one time, Living Waters Church had a parsonage down here on Flowers Drive. When I came here, they had a parsonage, a nice parsonage. And the Christmas of like 96, 97, 98, somewhere, maybe it was 99. It was the year I got sick, 99. But my daddy came over to the parsonage and said, son, I have something I want to give you. I said, okay. And he gave me $1,000, and I couldn't believe it. And when he left, I called Mama. I said, Mama, Daddy gave me $1,000, and I didn't know if I should take it or not. Is everything all right between you and him? Because, you know, Daddy sometimes would get a little independent streak, and he'd go spend money without Mama knowing it. Come on. And I didn't want this $1,000 to separate my mom and dad. But my mother said, no, He got a huge bonus, and he just wanted you to have it, and Merry Christmas. I said, Hallelujah. And we took half of that, and we went to New York City. Glory be to God. He's my Father. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more than your Father who is in heaven? Thank God that if Earl Nims had a heart like that, I want to tell you, Earl Nims sometimes pulled out the belt. Oh, glory be. Now, when my sister was born, she was born 10 years after me. When my sister was born, he never pulled out the belt for her. All the energy to spank was spent on me. I have buried my body, the marks. No, I'm just kidding. But please know that you have a heavenly Father here tonight. Number one, acknowledge the Father's person. Number two, acknowledge the Father's perspective. Now, notice he said for us to pray, our Father, what's the next words? Which? You know, he's in heaven. And that gives him a perspective. Do you know that if you ever get caught in a traffic jam, how many of you know that is frustrating? Can I get a witness? I'm talking about on Interstate 95. I'm not talking about around Wilson. And there you are. You were going 80 miles an hour. You were cruising along, and all of a sudden, everything's to a standstill. And you see car after car after car after car, and you go 3 miles an hour. Isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world? You have no idea how long it's going to take. You have no idea what it is. But out up in the air, there's a helicopter. That helicopter is News Channel 11, not 5. I ditched 5 a long time ago. But News Channel 11. Oh, that felt good to say that. Please forgive me if you love Channel 5. Nothing against Greg Fischel. Anyway, let me move on. But Channel 11 News, I can just see the helicopter. And you know what, Pastor Jerry? The man up there in the helicopter, guess what? He sees where the problem is. And he knows about how long it's going to take to get through. And he is up there. And I'm down here behind the wheel, frustrated in the helicopter. If he could communicate with me, which he can't, but if he could call my cell phone and say, hey, Ricky, this is Channel 11, you got about 16 minutes and 40 seconds. Looks like there's two cars pulled over, but traffic is going to be flowing directly. You just hang in there. But you know what? He's got another perspective. All I can see is right in front of me. All I can see is the bills that came in the mail today. What I can't see is that what God's getting ready to open up in about 3 more weeks, in about 4 more months, in 2017, thank God he's in heaven. He said, I declare the end from the beginning. You are blessed and highly favored of God. Oh, it might not look like it. It might not feel like it. But I'm here to tell you, you don't go by your perspective. That's why every day you say, Lord, I'm hanging on. I don't see a way. But God, I know you will make a way where there seems to be no way. And you are my Father. And no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. And the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. Are you his servant? Better than this. Are you his child? Yes. Oh, my daddy loved. He just loved giving me $1,000. Anybody else feel led to do that? I'll be standing at the door. Try it. Give me $1,000. It'll make you feel so good. Amen. The Father's perspective. You see, he's the master. We're the servants. Our Father in heaven. He's the provider. And we're the ones in need. Give us this day our daily bread. He's the judge, and we're the guilty. Forgive us our debts. He's the one who has the plan. We're the ones needing direction. Please understand. Listen, Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Oh, I want you to know he has a perspective here tonight. And please understand, the Lord's Prayer puts us where we are. You see, when you want to get in trouble real quick is when you start trying to be God in your life. You start making the decision. You start calling the shots. you start saying, well, I believe I know that the Bible says tithe, but I think I'm going to just hold it back and me and God got our own thing going. No, the Lord's Prayer teaches us that He is your Father, and it also teaches you that He's in heaven and you're on earth. He has His place, you have your place. He's the leader, we're the follower. Amen? Come on now. I'm here to tell you that you say, well, you just don't know what they did to me, but our Father who knows best, say that, Father knows best. You know what He said? He said, forgive them. He said, forgive them. You know, there was two goats on that Day of Atonement. One was confessed the sins, and it was slain. But the other goat, they took that goat out to the wilderness, and whew, that goat left, never to be seen again. And friends, we've got to learn that as powerful as Calvary is, we've got to learn that we must also release that old goat. Amen. Let the old goat go. Right. Amen? Right. I've been Best Buy working, and I've seen people come in with that old goat. I can see it all over them. I mean, they had a goat. Not a literal goat. I'm talking about in the spirit. They were just coming there with all, you know, some of them I just want to say, honey, let it go. Some employees come to work and they're all upset. Just let it go. Well, you don't know who did this and that and the other. Let it go. What's that in there, a cartoon? Let it go. I didn't even seen it, but I've heard little kids sing it. Amen, huh? Frozen Chosen, amen. Let it go. I was going to say Finding Dory. I really was. I thought it was Finding Dory. Somebody, just let it go. Amen. He has a perspective. Listen, what the devil means for evil, God can turn around for good. No matter what we face, our Father is with us. And He knows when and He knows where. And He doesn't owe us an explanation. But what will honor Him is us trusting our Father. Say, our Father, which art in heaven. Acknowledge the Father's person. Acknowledge the Father's perspective, and then render the Father praise, because He said, hallowed be Thy name. Can you say that with me tonight? Hallowed be Thy name. Notice that you worship before anything else in this prayer. Did you know you actually worship before you confess sins? Now, if you are acknowledging the Father's person and you're acknowledging the Father's perspective, you're not going to be the type to harbor sin in your life, but you may have failed. In fact, you have failed. Guess what? I have failed. Guess what? We've all failed. I realized last week that Brother Jerry was human. Amen. When we saw the chicken go by at the restaurant, and we're fasting and no meat, and I'm looking and I see it coming this way, and I see Pastor Jerry looking at that chicken. Pastor said, I'm telling you, we are human. But God is good. Amen. Please understand that He knows the situation. He knows it. And so, hallowed be Thy name. You need to worship even when you've sinned, even when you've messed up. You need to worship even when somebody's hurt you. You need to worship when you're asking God for daily bread. Hallowed be Thy name. Pastor Jerry's going to talk about those compound names. Learn the names of God. Pray the names of God. Jehovah Shammah. When you know everything on the and working at Best Buy and things are not going good, I just say, Lord, Jehovah Shammah, you're my peace. Amen. Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you're my banner. When people snub me or when people don't accept me for whatever reason, I say, Lord, you're my banner. You've accepted me. You've put your name all over me. Hallelujah. Jehovah Roy, the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want. In fact, the Lord's my shepherd. There ain't nothing else I need. Amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. What's that, church? The Lord my provider. Hallelujah. Hallow His name. Worship Him. Well, I failed. Worship Him. Well, somebody's hurt me. Worship Him. Well, I don't have the job that I've been praying for. Worship Him. Hallow His name. Come into His presence with worship and praise. You know what? There's one thing that you've got that nothing can, that death can't take away from you, that the federal government can't take away from you. There's one thing that you've got that nothing can take away from you. You know what that is? God Almighty. He said, "You're in my hand, and no man shall pluck you out of my hand." And therefore, you ought to worship Him. Amen. Hallow His name. Do you remember a while ago, and I'm coming to a close, but do you remember a while ago when I said that God loves us intimately? Do you remember that? And that God loves us affectionately, and God loves us passionately, and He loves us personally. You remember me saying that a few minutes ago? Well, here's what we ought to do. We ought to praise Him intimately. We ought to just get along with God and praise Him. We ought to praise Him affectionately. Don't sit there like a quiet something. I mean, there you go. That's right. Praise Him affectionately. Come on, lift your hand and do that tonight. Praise Him intimately. Praise Him affectionately. Praise Him passionately. Praise Him personally, because He is your Heavenly Father. Amen. Can you give Him a hand of praise here tonight? Listen, when you pray, you seek God. But when you worship, God seeks you. Amen. I'm going to let the kids get settled because I'm going to close with this story. And I want them to hear it. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Roman emperor was enjoying a great victory. He had the privilege of marching his troops through the streets of Rome. He had his captured prisoners behind him. The emperor was marching with his troops, and the streets were lined with cheering people. Tall legionnaires had lined the streets to keep the people in their place. And at one point on the triumphal route, there was a little platform where the empress and her family were sitting to watch the emperor go by. And on the platform with his mother was the emperor's youngest son, his little boy. And he jumped off the platform, burrowed through the crowd, dodged between the legs of some of those legionnaires so he could run out and hug his father. The legionnaire stooped down and grabbed him. He said, "You can't do that. Don't you know who's in that chariot? Don't you know that's the emperor?" And the little boy said, "He may be your emperor, but he's my..." Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you, Jesus, that you're my Father. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jerry, help me close this as I play the piano tonight. But Lord, thank you tonight, God. We just say, our Father. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, all together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Yes, as we forgive our debts.
Keep on.
Lead us
not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Keep on. Forever and ever and ever. Amen, somebody. Give Him praise here tonight. My Father. Do you feel rejected? Do you feel like that your life's at a standstill? That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about, to remind you that He's got a perspective, and He ain't finished yet. And I feel like the Lord wants me to tell, and I'm going to transition to the piano. But I feel like the Lord wants me to tell some folks here tonight, this is your season of restoration. All that has been lost. The King said, Pastor, restore all that the devil has stolen. Can you believe that for 2017? Can you believe that for your family? Can you believe that for your finances? If you'll do that, would you just lift your hand and just say, I thank you, my Father. I thank you, my Father. Go ahead, Pastor Jerry. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, come on, let's just say it again in unison. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a very interesting perspective from Dr. Mark Rutland's book, and sort of stretching it a little bit, but I like it, where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We were taught as kids to say, on earth as it is in heaven. The newer translations do say, on earth. But King James says, in earth as it is in heaven. And the older translations also say, in earth. And the thing that he pointed out was, we are made out of earth. Now watch this, the transition from just on the earth to in the earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in earth, in me. I submit myself totally to you. I submit everything I am to you. Let your kingdom come into me. Let your will be done in me. I submit to your lordship, to your fatherhood. Let the kingdom be in me. Hallelujah. I thought that was beautiful. And then, of course, we pray, let your kingdom come. And on earth, the newer translation, we're looking to establish God's kingdom. And I want to invite everyone that wasn't here earlier to Saturday to the prayer. So you young people also, Pastor Jonathan, we've got vans out there. And we want every generation to go there. Five generations in the church, the silence. You heard it last night if you were here. My generation, the baby boomers. Brother Ricky's generation, the X generation. Brother Jonathan's generation, the millennials. And then my grandchildren's generation, the Z. They haven't even defined the characteristics of the Z generation yet. But in this church right now, there are five generations. And the thing about prayer, prayer is more called than taught. And what we want you to do is to be a part of, and that's why we invite everyone on Friday night. There will be no Friday night prayer here. We're taking it Saturday morning to Falcon. So we'll be praying there, those that don't have other plans. We've got people going in another direction to Black Mountain. We're praying for you. God bless that trip. We've got leadership being trained everywhere. But pray, and the whole thing is that God's kingdom will come on this earth. And Jesus came to this earth to do the Father's will. I'll share something else that I saw today I'd never seen. In John 20, verse 21, I shared with Brother Philip. You want to come share that, Brother Philip? That's, I called him up. I was riding back from Raleigh. I said, I want to give you a nugget. I said, the Holy Ghost just dropped it on me. And I've read the New Testament through 40 sometimes. And I've studied and preached at it, but I'd never seen this before until the Holy Ghost dropped it. And this is the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Come, brother. Hallelujah. Brother Philip's a great Bible teacher. Look, amen, what he's got in his hand. He has a copy. He's bringing this one back to me. Who would like to know something about the generations that are in the church? If you really have a passion to know, come see me.
John 20, 20 and 20. And when he had so said, talking about Jesus, he showed unto them his hands and his side.
Yes.
Why did he show them his hands and his side? Because they'd make that way they couldn't think he was somebody else. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord after they were sure it was him, because they didn't know what it was. Here's something appeared in the room with the door locked. I like that. We're going to be able to do that. Then said Jesus to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me." Here's the real deal here. "So send I you."
Yes.
As the Father sent Jesus, he sent Jesus on a mission, didn't he? He sent him equipped for that mission because he had the Spirit. How? Without measure. Okay.
Here's the part I've never seen.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So they got at least a portion right then of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' presence. God gave him the Spirit without measure, so therefore he could give that Spirit to someone else, and he did. He said, "Receive it." So we are to receive that Holy Spirit, and like Paul said, we're to be continuously filled with it because we got leaky vessels. So he said then, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost to minister in here on earth, what do you think we need? If we're going to do the works that he did, and he said, "Greater works than these shall you do," how are we going to do those greater works? Got to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have him, you won't get them done.
Amen.
Here it comes. "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And when he had so said, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." When Jesus came, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Be filled and filled and filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's sing a little bit before we go.
Praise God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, what a call. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Oh, glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. Sing that again. Every praise, every praise, every praise. One more time. Every praise is to us.